Well, good morning. Welcome back to the LifePoint Drivecast. My name is Cale Boer. I'm the teaching pastor at the Delaware campus. And this past Sunday, we continued on with our Senior Moments series. We are talking about Hebrews chapter 11 and looking at what is called oftentimes the Hall of Faith. And this past Sunday, we looked at the character Moses. Moses is, I think a couple of weeks ago, I said Abraham is arguably the most important character in the Old Testament. That arguably comes from, maybe Moses would be one of the other guys that arguably is the most important character in the Old Testament. Moses is the guy that God chose to rescue. Through him, he rescued the people of Israel out of Egypt and brought them out of Egypt and led them to the Promised Land. Moses himself never got to go into the Promised Land, but he led them to pretty much the doorstep of the Promised Land. And in Hebrews chapter 11, this is what the author says about Moses. It says, "By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw that the child was beautiful, and they were not afraid of the king's edict." Pharaoh had said at the time that they had to kill every male child born to the Israelites. The Israelites were growing at a rapid rate, the Hebrews were, and that was scaring Egypt. And so the Pharaoh said, "Look, we're going to basically do population control." And Moses' parents said, "No." And so they disobeyed the king's edict to watch over and to save the life of their child. And verse 24 says, "By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin." Moses' story, just very much in short here, is that he was adopted basically by Pharaoh's family. It's sort of the great twist of the story is that his parents, at 3 months of age, his parents can't hide him any longer, and so they float him down the river, and it's Pharaoh's daughter that ends up finding him, and so she takes him in and adopts him, and so Moses becomes part of the royal family. But the author here says he chose to reject that life, to be mistreated with the people of God rather than getting to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. And something that Adam Purcell, our teaching pastor at our Mount Vernon campus, has said really well is he kind of honed in on this part about the fleeting pleasures of sin. And he just noted that, you know, I think sometimes what can happen is that the church teaches rightfully that sin does not lead to joy. Right? When we sin, it does not lead to our joy. It leads to our hurt and to pain and to regret. And ultimately, scripture says the wages of sin is death. But that word ultimately is really important because the Bible does acknowledge that sin is fun, is pleasurable, if I can say it that way, in the short term. That's what it says here. The fleeting pleasures of sin. That Moses chose not to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. And so, you know, Adam noted, and I talked about it on Sunday as well, that, you know, I think sometimes people maybe reject the church or reject Christianity, leave the faith, perhaps maybe young people in particular, because they hear, okay, sin is bad, and then they go indulge in sin, and what they find is, hey, this is actually pleasurable. So therefore, the church must have lied, or Christianity doesn't work, right? It's not true. The Bible's not true. But that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that, yes, sin for a moment is fun, but in the long run, the results are horrible. It leads to death. I put it like this way on Sunday. I said two things about this. I said sin is tempting because it's temporarily pleasing. We have to acknowledge that, right? That it is temporarily pleasing, but you got to hone in on temporarily. And so I used another analogy. I said, look, sin is like sugar-coated poison. Sin is like sugar-coated poison. Turning away from God, indulging in sinful things, it's like sugar-coated poison. It tastes great for a moment, but the end result is that it kills you. That is sin. Right? It is saying for a moment, right? Yes, this is fun, but it does not lead to lasting joy. On the flip side, following Christ is often hard at times. We endure hardship, we endure suffering, but we are, and this is the whole theme of this series, we are looking up and we are looking ahead to the greater reward that is to come, to life with Christ, We know we have the forgiveness of sins. We're going to go and be with Christ. We're going to hear someday, well done, good and faithful servant, enter into your master's joy. We're going to spend eternity with Jesus. And so we endure hardship now, and we endure persecution, and we endure suffering, knowing that one day Jesus is going to return to make all things right, and knowing that as we follow Christ in this life, it is the best life. It's hard, but there's far greater joy. There's lasting and ultimate joy in following Jesus, whereas indulging in sin, in doing things that we know are wrong, that lead us away from the Lord, while temporarily pleasing, the long-term result of that, the wages of sin, is death. And if you're a believer and you are indulging in sin, that's going to hurt your relationship with God. Again, maybe temporarily pleasing, but ultimately it hurts your relationship with the Lord. And it's something that we shouldn't indulge in. It's something we should repent of, turn away from, and return to the Lord. So let me pray for you. And I'm going to pray just that for all of us. And then I want to give you a moment to pray for yourselves. Heavenly Father, I do pray that, Lord, for those of us who maybe are stuck in a sinful pattern or indulging in a particular sinful tendency, and we know, Father, the Holy Spirit warns us before we take the step, He convicts us, You convict us, Holy Spirit, after we've taken the step, and yet maybe we keep returning to that. God, I pray that You would give us the wisdom, the courage and conviction this morning, to turn away from those things, to reject them, to repent of them, to see them for what they are. James, the author of James, tells us that it's deception, right? We need to look up and see that You, Father, are the Father and the giver of all good gifts. All good and perfect gifts come from You. And we need to see the deception and the lie that that is. And so, Father, I pray again for anyone who may be tempted right now to take a path that they just know is wrong, to indulge in sinful behaviors or actions or thoughts, and that they'd see it for what it is, that sugar-coated poison, and they'd turn from it and return to You, and in You find lasting joy. And I pray that in Jesus' name, amen. Why don't you take a moment and pray for yourself. Thanks so much for joining us for the LifePoint Drivecast. God bless you. Have a great rest of the day, and we hope you'll tune in with us again tomorrow morning.